Restaurant Unstoppable, episode 26.
Welcome to RestaurantUnstoppable.com. Listen to successful restaurant professionals as they discuss the tools, tactics, and services they use to better lead, manage, and market their restaurants. Join our community and make your restaurant dreams unstoppable. Here's your host, Eric Cacciatore.
Yo, what's going on, all you unstoppable restaurant professionals? It's your host, Eric Cacciatore, and this is the podcast for personal growth and wisdom in the restaurant industry. I'm loving every second of it so far, and I hope you are too. I have nothing crazy to throw at you today before we get started. Just a reminder, I would love to connect with anybody who's listening to this and will be at the 2014 NRA trade show over in Chicago. I'll be there from Sunday to Tuesday, and I would love to connect. And also, if you just want me to look into something for you while I'm there, let me know, and I'll work to serve you while I'm there and make the most of the time I spend up there. But also, don't forget to connect with me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, Twitter. Any questions or anything I can do for you to make this show better, just let me know. I'm here to serve you. I hope you enjoy today's show. Here it is. With excitement, please allow me to introduce to you today's guest, Michelle Ragasis. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing excellent, Eric. Thanks. Thanks for calling.
No problem. Thanks for being on the show. I can't wait to hear what you have to share with us. So are you ready to make some restaurant dreams unstoppable with your impeccable experience and wisdom?
Yeah, let's do it.
Awesome. So I'll just give a brief introduction here. Growing up in an Italian Greek family, it was easy for Chef Michelle to fall in love with food. It was this culture that brought her to study at Johnson & Wales in Rhode Island. And I could be wrong, feel free to correct me, but it turns out that this badass doesn't really like regimented education. So she decided to go get experience as an executive chef for 15 years. The hands-on experience, so to speak. Her passion for food and bringing people together landed her on the season 8 of cast, or the cast of season 8's Food Network Star, and she competed into the final rounds. Today, Chef Michelle is the executive chef at The Pearl on the Pier in Rockland, Maine. So feel free to correct me, fill in any blanks, or elaborate on.
You are 100% correct. School is not my thing. You know, it's funny. I went to Johnson & Wales at 27 thinking, all right, all my friends are telling me you're great with food. You need to do something. I was a bartender. And so I decided they're right. I do need to do something. This is what I love to do. I love to cook. I like to make people happy with food. Let me move to Rhode Island and go to culinary school. And I'm going to go to Johnson & Wales because it's a good school. So I start going, and literally I got sent home every time I went to class. Either my apron was wrinkly, my shoes weren't clean, I forgot my name tag, whatever it is. They're so strict. I was like, seriously, I'm spending all this money. Can I just, like, get through one day of classes? So after about almost a year, I was like, forget this. I can't even do this. And, you know, it's funny because I was cooking already and around food so much. So I was 27 and I got some kids who are like 19 going to school and who don't know how to cut an onion. I didn't have the patience for it. So I thought that, you know, I would learn more working in restaurants, and I did. I'm not to say that people should definitely go to school. It's good for you and it's good on your resume.
Absolutely.
I just am more of a, you know, I like to be thrown in with the wolves.
No, I like having a mix of guests. A lot of my guests do study and, you know, and a lot don't, but you don't need that formal education to be successful in this industry. You can get the hand-on experience with apprenticeships and just learning and you know, diving right into it. But yeah, it's not completely necessary to go get that education. And that's one of the things I like about this, this industry too, is just the fact that it can be informal if you choose to, just as long as the passion's there, you know?
Yeah, that's one of my things. You know, we're chefs. We're not brain surgeons. We're not doctors. Yes, it's cool to be a chef right now. But I mean, you know, back in the day, I'm 44 years old. When I grew up, my mother was like, please don't be a chef. Don't work in the restaurant business. And now she's like, thank God you're a chef. You know, I mean, it's crazy how it changes. Back in the day, it was kind of derelicts and people who didn't really, you know, I mean, it was.
Well, I'm happy you decided to follow your passion because I want to be sitting here talking to you today. So
me
thanks
too.
For sticking with it.
Super, super happy. I mean, I love food. I love New England. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's exciting. School just is for some people and some people it's not, you know, I think for the people who want to be really technical, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'll use for the term, and work in that kind of a restaurant, then school is great. For the people who are more freestyle and rustic, we'll say, that, which is me,
yeah.
You know, school is not my thing.
And whatever it is you're doing, keep doing it because you're doing well.
Thank you.
All right. So I like to start off every interview with a success or leadership quote or mantra to kind of get that motivational ball rolling. So what do you have for us?
Passion, my friends, my young chefs, passion is key to this business.
Passion.
If you are not passionate, you're not in the right business.
Absolutely. And that's something that comes up so often is just that you need that passion because it's not really if you're getting into it to make a lot of money or to have fun and party, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
You really have to just love making people happy. And I get that sense about you.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I spent most of my 30s not doing anything but working in restaurants. You don't get to do much, you know, so you have to love it. You have to love that you're going to play with food and that's going to be extremely physical and you're working with knives and fire and long hours and you don't have holidays and your friends are out doing fun things and you are not. You are feeding other people. So if you love it, then good for you. If you don't even bother.
Exactly.
You know, I had a friend of mine last year call me and say, my nephew wants to go to culinary school. And I said, give him to me for 2 weeks, bring him up to the Pearl, and before you even spend the money, and let him work with me. And I'll put him through the ringer. And he loved it, but he didn't go to culinary school. He's just coming back to work for me.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, and it's great to hear when people like you, you know, help the next generation.
Yeah.
And really kind of steer them and, you know, let them get a sense of what it's all about. So hopefully you can do that for us today on the show, too.
Awesome, yeah.
All right. So what is your it factor, Michelle? What are your personal characteristics that contribute to your success today?
Well, I think, one, I'm very impatient. So it's my bad quality in life, but it's great in the restaurant business. It allows me to be a beast on the line. I'm fast. I'm impatient. So if tickets are in my face, I have to get them out. It drives me crazy. Again, passion. I love what I do. I love playing with food. I also think where I live, you know, I mean, I'm in Rockland, Maine, and I get some amazing products here. I'm sitting, my restaurant is 250 feet out before you even hit the front door on the ocean. So we're as farm to table and sea to table as you can get. Everything is fresh. I have mushroom foragers that bring me what I like to say. Just the most beautiful mushrooms I've ever seen. That come from this enchanted forest, I call it, because they're bringing me trumpets and chanterelles and morels and porcinis, and it's amazing. So I'm just really, I'm blessed and lucky to be somewhere that gives me amazing product to work with.
Awesome, man. I'm gonna toot your horn here just a little bit because I did some research and I found some keywords that really stuck out to me, and warmth, loyalty, compassionate, relaxed, fun, good with people. I'm just gonna say overall, emotionally intelligent, and what's really cool too, and what really resonated with me, and why I was started getting really excited for this interview was when you were asked like what it is about your standpoint on food, your answer was bringing people together. It brings everybody together, and there's nothing better. And that's why I love this industry. I used to think I loved food, and I do love cooking. It's one of my, you know, my pastimes. And when I'm not working, I love to cook for friends, but with my maturity, I discovered that it's not the food; it's the ability through food to bring people together, and that's the, you know, the real
Absolutely.
Award. It's just
it's so true. I think this whole culinary thing, besides me loving food and growing up in this around food. I mean, my mother and my father both cooked, and it was very important to sit at the dinner table. Mm-hmm. I did not. It wasn't like life is so busy right now for people. It was mandatory. We had dinner together growing up.
That's
every day.
So valuable.
And I like to do that. So at least I feel like I'm doing that when I'm serving dinner. And I watch people sit with their kids. And even if it's in a restaurant, they're eating and they're actually talking. And I like to do that with my friends. When I'm not working, I'm cooking for my friends, and it brings us together. And you're right. It's not about the food. I mean, the food is just an added bonus. Exactly. But the fact that we get to sit around and drink good wine or hang out and really have conversations without our phones and our computers and enjoy each other's company, it's a nice thing. And food allows us to still do that. It's like the one only thing that we can still connect a little human fondness without technology.
Exactly. It's so cool. Yeah. And so I just really wanted to point that out because it just, you know, resonated with me. And I think that's just, even a lot of people may not even put those two things together. They think they might love food, but it's the, like I said, the reward of being able to sit down afterwards or just see the people interacting with each other and being a part of it all. That's just so awesome. So that was really cool. So we'll jump to the next question now, and we're going to talk about your favorite restaurant experience. So we have so many incredible stories working in this industry, many of which act like lessons or reminders to why these crazy hours, why we devote these crazy hours and our time and our really our lives to the trade. So is there one story that stands out to you that kind of acts as a reminder to why we do what we do?
God, that's a hard question. You know, I mean, I think my favorite restaurant story would be Babbo, New York City.
Okay.
And I think it was actually, it wasn't just about the food. It was about the service. And I don't think it made me want to do what I do. I guess it made me want to be better at what I do.
How did it make you feel?
Really, the service was impeccable. I really honestly thought that they had cameras behind in the back of the house somewhere watching us eat, because the way they swept in, it was almost like they were on roller skates and took away our food so gracefully, and just someone right behind them bringing the next food in. It was the best service I've ever had. And I think what it just did for me was make me want to pay attention more to the front of the house and not so much. All I ever cared about was the food in the back of the house.
Exactly.
And that made me actually realize that, you know, it's not just about the food. It is about the service. It's about from the second you walk through the door, the details, the people being greeted immediately, and making you feel like they're walking into your home. And that's what Babbo did for me.
Awesome. And, you know, that's so important that you point that out. And that's a big reason why so many people who are passionate about this industry or passionate about food, why they don't make it, is because they forget about the other half of the you know, owning a business. Is you have to have that service. You have to have that technical skill in the front of house, or else people aren't just going to, they go out to eat for the food, but part of that experience is how they're taken care of. So that's a very important takeaway and great.
It's a really important thing that people are going out spending hard-earned money, and it's a special occasion when people go out to eat. No matter what, you are spending your money that you work for to go have an excellent meal and be waited on. And we are in the customer service business. So that's another thing people have to understand. If you don't want to wait on people, you're in the wrong business. Get out of it. You know, it's we're kind of in the kiss ass business, if you will. We are here to kiss ass. That's how we make money. And while we're doing it, we get to be creative and give great service and excellent food. So you have to, you know, love it. You have to really love people, because let's be honest, there are some asshole customers out there.
Absolutely. But you know what? They're there. They're paying your paychecks. So you got to treat them like gold.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this kind of brings me right into our next question, and it goes towards enlightened hospitality. There's no question that we have to be, you know, great cooks and provide that great service like we just discussed. But there's one other factor that many people overlook, and that's, you know, the fact that you have to be hospitable towards these guests. And we think of words like warmth and kindness and generosity when we say the word hospitality. And Danny Myers takes it a step further in his book, Setting the Table. He talks about how not only do you have to be hospitable towards your guests, but first you have to be hospitable towards your employees, then your guests, community, suppliers, and investors. So can you think of a time that either you or one of your team members displayed this enlightened hospitality? And can you tell us that story?
Think of a time that I displayed my hospitality. I mean, I think I do it every day, although it gets really heated in the kitchen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think people think of us as chefs are crazy, and we are. I mean, I feel like I'm really kind to my staff and try to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tough, and I'm not an easy person to work for by no means. I expect perfection and hard work, but I'm willing to like train everything I know. So I think that's being hospitable, just training these kids, you know. Exactly. You're bringing kids in. I mean, I had a kid who came in who was an accountant, never worked a day in his life in the kitchen. And now he's obsessed with it. And he's been cooking for 2 years and it's all he wants to do. He doesn't want to do anything else. And he went to school for accounting. Like, so, I mean, I think that's, I don't really have a particular story.
That's
fine. I just really try and get along with, you know.
And, you know, it's somebody like you who's able to, you know, who is compassionate and warm and, just, you know, like I said earlier, that emotional intelligence, when it's what you do all the time, you don't really think of these experiences as stories. It's just part of who you are and what you do. So it's hard to pull out one example.
Yeah.
But no, that's great. You gave us that example, helping that accountant out and showing him what the industry is all about. So thank you for sharing that.
Awesome. Yeah. it's funny. I have a lot of people who work for me that, you know, ask me, well, can I come work for you and learn? This year I'm bringing up, I did a food demo at a culinary school in Pennsylvania, and one of the kids begged me. He was like, can I please come and do my internship with you? So I got an intern coming up. I have a Johnson & Wales student coming up this summer. I have that kid who's coming back from last year who wanted to go to culinary school and didn't, you know. So, and I have a friend of mine who's my partner actually this year, who never cooked a day in his life, and last year asked me if he can come cook with me, and now he's gonna go in partners with me on this restaurant. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of people, I give a lot of people a chance, you know.
It's so funny because you say that, you know, you can't think of a story, but I mean, it sounds like you're doing it every day, and that's absolutely enlightened hospitality. Yeah. When you're taking these people that have no experience, and you're giving them your mentorship, and you're you know, help molding them into professionals. Absolutely. I mean, you have to be good to your people, and you have to be willing to work and mentor them and form them into the professionals that they will become, yeah, that serve you and your guests. So, yeah, great example.
I do scream once in a while, you know.
Hey, we're not all perfect, you know.
Hey, I know.
All right. So what is your biggest challenge in this restaurant industry, and how did you overcome that challenge?
My biggest challenge. You know, recently, I'll be honest with you, in my life, I feel like I got Lyme's disease, actually. It's got to be like 8 years ago, and it physically took a toll on me. So to overcome that, when I work, my body is just, it went undiagnosed for a year. So I have what they call Lyme arthritis.
Okay.
And when I work a 10, 12, 14 hour shift, I feel it. I mean, it's really hard for me to get through the day sometimes. But, you know, that's why I'm lucky enough to work 4 months up here. It's seasonal. Mm-hmm. I powerhouse through it, and then I get to relax. So it's pretty good. Thank God with Food Network and doing a lot of television shows, I actually get to do a lot of food demos and travel. So in my winter months, I make money doing that. And, you know,
it's been
my toughest challenge, really.
Yeah, what about, so You came up with Lyme disease, and did you have to adapt in any way to kind of change the way you do things, maybe with delegating more or giving more responsibility to people around you?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Can you give us an example of how you did that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was always that kind of bullheaded woman who was like, I can cook as fast or better than, you know, because it's like a game to me. I mean, once you got the skill to cook, when you're standing on that line, it's like a basketball game. You prep, you get ready, you blow it out of the water, and it's over. And I like to be physical in that aspect. It was really hard for me. I had to step away and let other people do it. I don't have the most patience giving up the, you know, I'll train you, but it's very hard for me to walk away and let you fully cook my food. So in that aspect, I had to start letting people jump on saute and really do it, and me step back and just expedite and allow them to really grow without me, you know, keeping the reins so much. So that's been a challenge for me. Awesome. I'd say my biggest one.
Well, hopefully it's a blessing in disguise and helps you with, you know, learning how to, you know, get that trust in others. And maybe it will show up some way, some form, being a benefit in the long run. But we'll see.
Of course.
All right, so we're going to jump right into a part of the podcast I like to call Knowledge Bombs. And what we're going to do is you're just going to drop some bombs of knowledge on us, talk about some of the cool things happening in the industry. So are you ready to go?
I guess.
All right. I'm sure you're going to drop some big old bombs on us. Here we go. All right. Employee retention is one of the most difficult struggles in this industry. So what advice do you have for us to first find these employees and then to keep them on your team?
Well, I have learned two. I like to go to culinary schools and find passionate people.
Mm-hmm.
One. So for me as a recruiter, you know, I go in and look for people who live, breathe, and eat food. And if they really want to do that, then I take them along.
Awesome. So, yeah, passion is extremely important. So it's all about where you find these
determination,
people.
And really, you have to be a hard worker. I mean, people have to understand that you got a 12-hour day at least ahead of you,
mm-hmm.
5 days a week at least.
Now, once you find these people, how do you keep them on your team? What incentives do you provide?
Well, I keep them on my team by, I try and provide housing. I provide a stunning restaurant to work in.
Mm-hmm.
I provide all the tools, equipment, and my knowledge that I give them. And, I try really to keep a positive energy with my team, but I also, if they don't adapt well, I don't keep them around. So I let them know right away. You have to give me 100% or you're not going to be here long.
Yeah, you know, that's a big part of it too. And not everybody likes to talk about how you have to cut the weak ones. But at the end of the day, you're in service for your restaurant. If they're not contributing to the overall experience for your guests, they have to go. And that is a big part. And I think a lot of people are afraid to let go of their staff because they can't, you know, it's hard to find people. So you got to hang on to what
you
got.
It's really hard to find people. I mean, it's one of the hardest things. I get people in the restaurant industry, and I think a lot of people look at it as, for instance, Rockland, Maine. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids come to me and it's their summer job. I don't need someone who it's their summer job. I understand I can only give you summer employment, but I need somebody who wants to go, it's my summer job and I'm going to take everything I can out of this.
Yeah.
I want to learn as much as I need somebody who wants the wisdom and who wants the knowledge and wants to learn. Otherwise, it's pointless. Then I'm wasting my energy and you're wasting yours.
And I love that you set up that culture from the get-go because, you know, they didn't know what they're going to be on board for from the very beginning. So, great. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that with us. All right, let's talk about some restaurant resources. What's one book, website, or magazine, maybe it's a podcast, that you love and would love to share that with our listeners?
Resources, books. God, I don't read a lot of books, to be honest with you. You know, I'm a little slightly obsessed with all the food mags, really.
Yeah.
Bon Appetit, Food and Wine. I just think that they're trendy, so they keep us up to date. And us as chefs, I don't have really time to sit down and read. So it's good for me to go through a magazine really quick. You know, what's inspiring to me really is not even in the books or magazines. It's the land that I'm around.
Mm-hmm.
So I get inspiration from being on the ocean or going foraging, hanging out with people who are foragers, or that's really inspiring to me.
Awesome. And since we're talking about some of the trends, what is the one industry trend or new trick that you're kind of picking up on and implementing at your restaurant?
I mean, I'm slightly obsessed with mushrooms right now. It's my thing. So, you know, to be where I am and have some great foragers who are really knowledgeable about that, and sea vegetables are another thing that are starting to pop up a lot up here.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely farm to table. It's not going anywhere. I don't think it ever will, so that's great. And just bringing a little bit more sea to table. I'm really into using some bycatch and trying to save our oceans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Start using fish that we used to use as bait and cook it because it's just as delicious, if not more. And repopulate our oceans would be great.
Yeah, you know, and you a little bit earlier, this kind of ties back to that whole enlightened hospitality thing. And again, this is another example of you doing it and not even realizing it. But when you source from local purveyors and farmers, that is like the ultimate hospitable move because you're giving it back to the community. And when you take care of your community, they'll take care of you. So, again, you know, you're doing it and you're not even realizing it, which is kind of cool because it's goes to show that, you know, you're a humble person, and that's cool.
Thank you.
No problem. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about some of the products and services that are coming into our marketplace. There's no joke that, you know, we are getting bombarded by these new products and services every day. And being so busy running our business, it's kind of hard to stay on top of some of the new stuff that's out there. So is there a new service or tool or appliance that you would recommend to our listeners, something that you're getting a maximum return on investment on?
You know, to be honest with you, I am very old school and rustic. To me, I'm a rustic chef. I am not, you know, into sous vide machines and all the fun, crazy gadgets for chefs today. Give me a stove, some fire, and a saute pan, and you can have the best meal of your life. And fresh local products. So I don't have anything for you on that, honestly. No, I mean, you know, I'm all about using my farms and that are local to me and just really creating something from – I'm a clean chef, you know. I don't like to do any crazy things. I just really like to handle our products with respect and not use too many gadgets, actually, to be honest with you, yeah.
Sometimes the best advice is keep it simple.
Yeah.
I love that acronym, you know, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. So
it's great. I mean, it's the way it should be. When I learned how to cook and – from my family, it was buying amazing ingredients and doing very little to them to make them stand out. And I still cook that way. If I get a halibut that comes out of this ocean that's in front of me, I'm not going to do much to it because it's as fresh and beautiful of a product. I'm just going to highlight it just a little bit. So that's how I cook and how I train my chefs to cook.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you. So what is your best business advice for someone getting started in the industry?
Reach out to your community is really important. If you open a restaurant in a community, you should do everything you can to serve that community because they're the ones who are going to come and eat at your establishment.
Awesome. Could you give us an example of how you served your community?
Yeah, I do a lot of charities. So I work for Make-A-Wish Maine. And that I would just say, you know, pick a charity that you can. We need to give back to our community. So if you have a venue or a place that you can do some kind of charity event, and I buy locally, which is giving back to the community. So always buy everything you can local. And I personally like to do something like a customer appreciation night. Let people know that you're appreciate them because, you know, buy them a drink, buy them some food, do something for the people that come because they're the ones who are keeping you in business.
That's, you know, so true and so important. And I keep on going back to this whole thing where you keep on giving us more examples of how you are showing hospitality to your community. And like, if you support them, they'll support you, and all ships will rise together with the tide. And I love that saying as well. You know, you're only as good as the community you're a part of. So
true. More business, the better. Don't be scared of other restaurants and other businesses coming in. It just brings more people.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Yeah, it's so true. And I think Danny Myers kind of touches upon that in his book, too. If you invest in your community and you draw more people into your community because of what you're doing, it's only going to, you know, it's good. It's the good kind of competition, you know, to be challenged. When you have other competitors in it, it forces you to kind of step up your game. And really, that's a good thing for everybody. If everyone's, you know, it's friendly competition, it's good stuff.
Absolutely. I'm down the street from Primo, which is like one of the top 100 restaurants in the country. I mean, she is super talented. I went to dinner last night. It was spot on amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's great because you want a lot of restaurants and a lot of different. I'm not Primo. I'm a whole different ballgame. So it's great that people have a lot of variety. We need variety.
Exactly. And just that, you know, that pitch you just gave to Primo. I mean, if you're, say one night you're stacked, or she's stacked and she doesn't have any room, you can always throw people to other restaurants.
Absolutely.
And they appreciate that. So
if people come into my restaurant and they look at my menu and say, I was looking for more pasta or more anything, I'm not going to hesitate to say, go down the street to Primo. It's amazing. You know, because they're going to come back another night when they want clams or steamers or, you know, I'm a seafood restaurant.
Great. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing that. So
yeah.
This is the last question, for you before we wrap it up.
Okay.
Are there any questions I could have asked you, and maybe a question that you believe could have made this interview a little bit better? And what is that question?
God, you ask tough questions.
Sorry.
Well, let me think. Shit, I don't think so. I mean, you did good. I just feel like if you're trying to get people inspired, I think that people need to stop with technology, take a few minutes for all the young chefs out there, look around, pay attention to what's happening around you daily, and be inspired. I think people need to be more inspired and stop worrying about making money or going into this in the sense of, I want to become rich and own a restaurant because you want to. Get some years, get some knowledge, and then go do it because you're inspired and want to give back. That's my really big thing. It is not about the money. You're not going to get rich.
And I can think of a good question that kind of is unique to you and your experience, and it's something that's come up a few times on the show in regards to, you know, all this, you know, all these celebrity chefs out there today. It's been said that, you know, that the Food Network and all these other different networks are kind of falsifying the realities of this industry, and people are getting involved or chasing this career in hospitality or as a chef and, you know, getting in debt because they think it's going to be all glitz and glamour. What do you have to say about that and your experience?
Okay, so first of all, I would have to say, if you want to be a celebrity chef, then go be a celebrity chef. It's a whole different... I think that I'm lucky enough because there are some chefs who knock the people who are doing TV chefs and call... I guess I'll put myself in the middle of the category, us not chefs. The one good thing I have is I've been cooking for 17 years, so I am not that person. I am a chef. There are a lot of people, if they think it's glamorous because of it, it's not. You're going to go put in your time. You need 17 years, 18 years. I just happen to really like doing television, and I'm lucky enough that I'm doing well at it and doing a bunch of shows that are coming out. But if you're going, you got to kind of pick and choose. Bobby Flay said it to me once. I went to his office and he said, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to do TV with you. And he said, what are you? And I said, I'm a chef. And he goes, are you a real chef? And I went, what do you mean? Absolutely. I've been working at this for years. And he's like, then the TV and the stardom will follow you. And it's true. You got to pick your battles. If someone wants to be a TV chef, I mean, I don't even think they'll really succeed. If you want to be a chef, it's not, it's hard knocks. It's just a school of hard knocks. Like anything else, if you want to be good at something, you got to work at it.
Absolutely. If you look at the people who are doing big things on the Food Network, they didn't get their start by thinking, oh, I want to be on TV. They just held true to their passion, their trade, and their commitment, and they were sought out after. So really, at the end of the day, don't even put the thought of being on TV in your mind. You know, just focus on your trade, your skill, your passion, and taking care of your community and the people around you. They'll take care of you, and positive things
will happen. Absolutely. That'll come. If that's something you want in your life, it'll come. But nothing comes easy and nothing comes for free, right? So we have to work.
Absolutely. Well, that was the last question I have for you today. I love the end of this podcast. I love giving you the opportunity to kind of call somebody out and maybe somebody you would inspire to be like, or somebody you learned a lot from in this industry that you believe would be a great, you know, next guest on the show. And that's actually how I found you. Ippy called you out. So,
oh, good boy, Ippy.
Yeah. So who do you admire and think would be a great contribution to the show?
Oh, shoot. I'm trying to think of I admire Melissa Kelly. If you can get her, she is incredible. The woman is like 90% sustainable. She is a super, super talented. I just respect the hell out of her. Woman. All
right. Well, she's been on my radar, so I will make an attempt.
Do it, Eric. She's amazing.
All right. And this is your chance.
Thanks so much.
No problem. This is your chance to give yourself a plug and maybe recruit some good, hardworking, passionate people. How can we connect with you?
Hey, you can go on my website at The Pearl, Rockland, Maine, and there's an email there. They can get in touch. We'll be holding open calls probably from the 23rd to the 25th. Anyone wants to come and work? A great killer summer.
You heard it, guys. She's a passionate, hardworking girl, and you'll learn a lot from her. So if you are up in the Rockport, Maine area, and you're looking to learn and get mentored, give her a call. She'll take care of you.
Awesome. Eric, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you very much.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
Take care.
Well, it's no secret why Michelle got picked up by the Food Network. She is just bursting with personality, and she was just such a great pleasure to have on the show. One of the things that really stood out to me in this show, which kind of it's something I recently found out about myself, but it kind of brought it to the forefront and reminded me as to what it is I love so much about this industry. And that is the ability to bring people together. And she said it too, like when she was asked what it is about food that she loves, it's not even the food, it's the ability to use food as a tool to bring the people that you love together and to bring your community together. And I think that's my true passion. Actually, I know that's my passion. And that's why, one of the reasons why I love doing this show for you, because it's not food, but it is a tool to bring people together and to work together and to share ideas and to help each other with their businesses and just to grow and to collaborate. So that just really resonated with me. And also another thing that was kind of funny is I asked some questions and she wasn't too sure when I asked these questions. For example, you know, I asked her to give us an example of how she's hospitable and she couldn't think of anything. But then afterwards, she just started giving examples the entire time, which was really funny. And I think that's a really strong characteristic of people in this industry. They're humble and they are generous and hospitable and they don't even realize it. It's just a part of who they are. And that's how you have to be. You have to be somebody who is just constantly giving and doesn't see it as you know, you're not giving, you're just being who you are and you're being generous and that's just a part of your makeup. So all really, really cool stuff. It was an absolute pleasure having her on the show and I can't wait to see what she has in store next, because she was talking about partnering up for a new restaurant. So that should be interesting. That's all I have for you today, guys. Don't forget to connect with me. You know where to find me. This is episode 26. If you want to look at the show notes, feel free to do that. You can find the show notes at www.restaurantunstoppable.com. And until next time, peace out.